Music today is everywhere. It's impossible to escape music because wherever we go, we're really being bombarded with it. If you go into shops, you'll find that many shops are playing music through the speaker system. You go into a restaurant for a meal, and again, you'll find that music is being played in many restaurants. You turn on the radio at home or in the car, and again you find this music is booming out of the radio. Then you look around today at young people, and with all of their iPods and their mobile phones and their devices, and they're all plugged in, and you can see them walking along, even coming home from school or work or whatever, and they're all plugged in to music. That's what they're listening to. And so this music has become just part of everyday life for many. It has become part of society. And everyone has their own preference when it comes to music. They all like maybe different artists or artistes or whatever they're referred to as. They all perhaps like different musical instruments being played or different genres of music. But whenever you come to secular music or worldly music or pop music or whatever you want to call it, it can be categorized into all different descriptions. There's rock and roll music. There's rhythm and blues music. There's reggae music. There's country music. There's disco dancing music. There's all different kinds of music that we could term under this title of pop music. And we're asking the question, should Christians listen to pop music? Now, whenever you think about music, well, we come to God's Word. And God's Word is our only rule of faith and practice. And that means that how we live our Christian lives and how we're to behave and how we're to conduct ourselves, it's to be in accordance with God's Word. And that's why tonight we come to God's Word. But where did it all begin? Well, look back with me to the very first book in the Bible and to Genesis chapter 4. And in Genesis chapter 4, you have here a genealogy of names, and society here was developing, and you would find that there's one man there in verse 20, and he is the name of Jabal. And it tells us in verse 20 of Genesis 4 that Jabal, he was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. So there you're going back really to the beginning of farming. Here's the father of all the farmers, those who have cattle. And then, if you look in verse 22, you have a man there called Tubal-Cain, in fact. And he was an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And so he was one of those tradesmen or manufacturers. And he's the father of all them. And here's society developing. Man's beginning to produce food. And you have the whole food industry there with the cattle and the farming. And man's beginning to develop the different trades and the different skills. And he's beginning to manufacture things. And in verse 21, you have a man called Jubal. And it says, he was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. There's the first man to start the music industry. You have it right at the beginning of the Bible. In the book of Genesis, the chapter 4, the verse 21, he's the father of it all. And of course, you could go through the Bible and you would see how prominent a place music has in the Bible. And you can think perhaps of the trumpeters and the harpists and the great choirs, and the many different references in God's Word to music and to singing. It of course reached its peak in David's day. David of course was a great musician himself, a great singer. First Chronicles chapter 15 and the verse 16. Here's just an example of music in the Bible. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. And there's just a little flavour of how it was in Old Testament times, in the times here of David, whenever these particular individuals were appointed. And they were the singers, they were the musicians, and they were to be those who would play this music. David himself loved to do it. You could take just a little flavour of that in the Psalms. But in the Psalm 144, and that is a Psalm of David. Psalm 144 and the verse 9. And David says, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery, and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. And you can just see there, David had that great desire to praise the Lord, and he did it with singing and with the playing of music, the instrument of 10 strings. But I want to emphasize this at the outset. The singing and the music was not to entertain, but the singing and the music was being used to exalt the Lord, to worship the Lord. Now you look at Psalm 144 and verse 9, and you can see this with David here. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. And twice in the verse, just a couple of lines of scripture, David's emphasizing, it's unto thee. Twice he says that it's unto the Lord. It's not unto man. It's not for entertainment. It is unto the Lord. Now that's a key principle, young people. That's a principle that is very helpful when it comes to our distinguishing in relation to music as to what we can listen to and what we shouldn't listen to. And it's a good practical subject because we're bombarded with it nearly every day. In every walk of life, we come across it. It's good for young people to address this subject. Now, of course, tonight in one meeting, you could never address it in an exhaustive way, but I just want us to consider it together very briefly. And if you stay with me tonight and follow in some verses that we'll refer to a little later on, I will not keep you very long, but let's see that the Lord would speak to us and guide us according to his word. Firstly, tonight, I want us to think about the character of pop music. The character of pop music. Now, we would have to say it is sinful in its character right at the outset. It is sinful in its character because the music of the world, that's what it is. The music of the world will be a reflection of the world. And if you think of what the Bible tells us about the world, in fact, the Apostle John in 1 John, he tells us that the whole world lieth in wickedness. That's what he says of the world. And we know today by looking around us in the world that the world is filled with all kinds of corruption and all kinds of wickedness, and the whole music industry is a reflection of that. It's characterized by that sin, by that corruption that's in the world. And a world that is opposed to God and opposed to the gospel will produce music that is opposed to God and the gospel. And whenever you look at pop music and all of those different categories, and some of them I have referred to, you think of that hard rock, that heavy rock. That's the music of rebellion. That's what is at the heart of it. It is characterized by rebellion. And therefore, we're saying it is sinful. Music is characterized by immorality. And if you were to examine some of the words or the lyrics as they're referred to, you would see the immorality that is in it. I did a little search on the internet and I was thinking of bringing some quotations of pop music songs, and when I started to read them I thought, you know, I wouldn't even want to bring those words before a meeting such as this, because it's characterized by sin and immorality. And all of that pop music has to do with breaking down our inhibitions. It has to do with pushing back the boundaries. And you, perhaps most of you tonight, wouldn't have been old enough, and I wasn't either, if you go back to all that in the 60s, and all that breaking through with the hippies and so forth, and then with the Beatles, that was just before my time. That was all to liberate society and to push back those Victorian standards which were Christian standards. So it's characterized by all of that immorality. You see, if you think about it tonight, all of that pop music, and in my teens, I can think back, well, whenever I think about pop music, what does it create in my mind? What are the thoughts there in my mind? When I think back to my teenage years and the pop music that I would have been familiar with in my unsaved days, do you know what I think about? Drinking. That's what I associate with it. The drinking goes with it. Today it has actually moved on from that. It's the drug culture today. That whole music industry is awash with drugs. You think about the dancing, that goes with it too, doesn't it? The dancing. Drinking and dancing. Reverend Lucas and myself, whenever we were ordained, we took a vow. We would oppose drinking and dancing and the pleasure crazes of this world. Well, that's associated with this pop music, this music industry. And young people, you would probably be exposed to more of it than I would, and you would know the dress code that goes with this pop music. It's characterized by sin. And therefore, whenever we look at it just in its character, we have to say, we have to conclude, and you couldn't come to any other conclusion tonight. When you look at all that it's associated with, we would have to say it's sinful in its character. It's also sensual in its character. What do we mean by sensual? I'll tell you very simply, it appeals to the flesh. It appeals to the flesh. It is designed to appeal to the flesh. We're saying that this is worldly music. Well, what is the world? Again, in 1 John, you read about what the world is. In 1 John chapter 2, in the verse 15, John says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Now, when you think about this pop music and all that it's characterized by, you would have to say, well, verse 16 could be referring to worldly music, because it's the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life that characterizes the pop music. It appeals to the flesh. You know, music is a very powerful thing. It can be a great force for good, but it can be a great force for evil. That's what we would be saying in relation to this worldly pop music. And there would be some who would want to maybe put the point, there's no harm in listening to it. Some might be thinking that tonight, even sitting in the meeting. Sure, there's no harm in just listening to it. But I have to make the point to you this evening, music is not neutral. Music is not neutral. Music carries with it a message. Music is an influence. Music is a means of communication. And what you're listening to is conveying to you a message. You might not even realize it. You think there's no harm in listening to it, but that is putting a message across to you. I was reading one of our magazines quite recently. It was a magazine from North America, and it carried an article by the Reverend Mercer, and it was called A Musical Minefield. And there was a quotation given in that article. It was a quotation from Jimi Hendrix. Before all your time, your generation. Jimi Hendrix, who was he? Well, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame describes Jimi Hendrix as arguably the greatest instrumentalist in the history of rock music. So that's from their own, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Here's what he said about music. Now, this is just music. This is not even the words. This is instrumentalist. He said, you can hypnotize people with music, and when you get them at their weakest point, you can then preach to their subconscious what you want to say. Probably the greatest instrumentalist of rock music, and he's saying, you can actually hypnotize people with music and then get over across to them whatever you want to say to them. And so don't think, young people, there's no harm in listening. It'll not do me any harm. Don't think that music is neutral. Music has its influence. There's no doubt about that. You don't even need the words. Music itself is the influence. That has been proved in simple ways. Shops tried some experiments. Some of these great multinational stores, they played music while the shoppers walked around doing their shopping. And they found something, that if they put on fast music, the shoppers went faster through their store. And if they put on slower music, the shoppers went slower through the store. They didn't realize they were doing it. But that music was conveying to them a message, speed up or slow down. Message, you see, has that influence. There's a power behind music. Music can be used to soothe. Sometimes there's a little baby, and to get that baby to go to sleep, they maybe sing a lullaby, or you'd put on some gadget now today, and it's music that puts them over to sleep. You see, music has an influence. Music has a power behind it. It can be a power for good or a power for evil. There's an example of that. If you were to look in 1 Samuel and the chapter 16, and this is in relation to King Saul. And it tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and the verse 23, the last verse of the chapter, and it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul. And so there was times when Saul was troubled with this evil spirit. And the word evil there has to do with a heavy spirit. And it seems that he was burdened. And he was in heaviness. And he was downcast. And what was the answer? And verse 23 says, David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Whenever he had this heaviness and this burden, and he was feeling so downcast, David played the harp. And that soothing music caused him to be refreshed. You see how music has its message, and music has its influence, and music there is a power and a force. Whether that's in a good sense or whether that's in an evil sense. But we're thinking, of course, about the worldly music, and the pop music, and therefore it's in the bad sense. It's characterized by sin, and by this, it's also the sensual. in its character. But secondly, let's move very quickly, the caution with pop music. Now, given that we have looked at the character of it, and the character of it is that it's sinful and it's sensual, well, then it goes without saying there's a warning. Christians should not listen. I know that that's, if I'd asked you at the start of the meeting, that's the answer that you would have given. But whenever you think of this music that's characterized by being sinful and essential, surely then Christians should not be listening to it. Even though it can have an appeal and it can have an attraction, it appeals to the fleshly appetite. But if you're saved, young person, and you're spirit filled and you're seeking to go on with the Lord, there should be an overriding desire in your heart. That even though here's something that appeals and attracts, but you know it does not please the Lord. And therefore, it is something that you will resist. It is something that you will refrain from, because the overriding principle in the Christian life is to do that which is pleasing to the Lord and that which honors the Lord. Now, we read tonight in Ephesians chapter 5, and I would like now to draw your attention to that portion we've read. We read from verse 15. And in verse 15, the Apostle Paul is saying there to the Christian, you're to walk circumspectly. You're in this world. And this world is no friend to grace to help us on with God. And you need a circumspect walk. You need to be careful. Remember, I was just saved and I read this word circumspect. I didn't know what it meant. And I heard one man explaining it. Whenever I was young, if somebody had property and they put a wall around it and they didn't want anyone coming over that wall, they used to put a layer of cement and then put broken glass into it. And you couldn't get over that wall without getting cut on the broken glass. You wouldn't be allowed to do that today with health and safety. But you used to see a cat walking along the top of that wall, and it could choose its footsteps so carefully. That's a circumspect walk. Young people, that's how you need to walk in this world. And Paul is saying here, see that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools. Don't be fools. You need to be wise. This is practical counsel that is coming from God's word. Redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And there's that overriding principle. We want to know what God's word teaches us. We want to know God's will. We want to go God's way, not the way of the world. Therefore, in verse 18, he's saying, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Here's the Spirit-filled Christian. Here's the Spirit-filled young person. And what are they doing? Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What are we to sing? What are we to sing? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Some people would say, this says psalms, psalms, and psalms, but it doesn't. It's psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The psalms itself is a reference to the Old Testament psalms. The hymns would be a reference to praise unto the Lord. And the spiritual songs is a reference to personal testimony in our praise. And that's what we're to sing. And how are we to sing it? Singing and making melody in your heart. Singing and making melody. There's the music. There's the music. Making melody. But where is it? It's in your heart. In your heart. You see, the Christian's praise is to come from not just the lips, but the heart. That's how we're to sing. And then you can see at the end of verse 19, it's to the Lord. to the Lord. That comes back to that principle. It is not for entertainment. But we are to come and to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Now I say to you, young person, that this is the counsel that God's Word is giving us in relation to the music, the melody, the singing, the praise of the Christian. And surely you can see this is not pop music. This is definitely not pop music that the Apostle Paul's referring to. Therefore, we must exercise great caution. And again, I say it to you, young people, don't sit and absorb the world's music and think that it will do you no harm. Don't think you can do that. Because, as I said earlier, there's a power, there's a force, there's a message that's being conveyed to you. And if you're listening to that worldly music, it is taking you in a direction that is away from the Lord. It's taking you in a direction that's away from the Lord. You can't listen to all of that and not be influenced by it. It is something that appeals to the flesh, and you are feeding the fleshly man. Whereas when you see here, the Christian who's singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in their heart to the Lord, that's taking us in the direction of the Lord, to the Lord. That's feeding the spiritual man. If you were to compare a couple of books over there in Colossians chapter 3 and the verse 16, and it's a parallel passage, and Paul is saying similar here to the Colossians, and he's saying in chapter 3 verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And therefore you can see that this praise and this singing of the believer is promoting holiness and godly living. It's taking us in that direction. And so you have the battle here that's going on today for the hearts and minds of our young people. And if you're listening to that pop music, you're feeding the flesh. And if you're going by the counsel here in God's word, you're feeding the spiritual man. And the one that you feed the most is going to be the strongest, and it's going to pull you one way or the other. There was an old farmer, and he had two dogs. One was a black dog, one was a white dog, and they were always fighting. Somebody said to him, which one wins when they're fighting? And he says, the one I feed the most. That's the way it is within our hearts. Those dogs could represent to us the fleshly man and the spiritual man. And the one you feed the most will win. Therefore, there has to be the caution tonight, young people, in relation to this pop music. But thirdly, and very quickly, I want you to think about the contrast to pop music. We've touched on it a little bit already. But here I'm coming to the thought of the individual getting saved. And it could be in a gathering like this tonight that some could have gathered in and they're not saved. And really they wonder what all the fuss is about here, what we're talking about. But you see, when the individual comes to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and they get saved, the Apostle Paul describes it as becoming a new creature. Doesn't he speak there in 2 Corinthians 5 and the verse 17? And he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You're a new creature. And there's things that are going to change. Things are going to pass away and things are going to be new. New ways, new habits, new lifestyle. The Bible speaks to us about the believer being given a new song. A new song. Anytime I'm asked to give a word of testimony, I always refer to Psalm 40. It testimony of David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. And he said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. That's the song of the redeemed. That's the song of the soul set free. I ask you tonight, young person, are you saved? Do you have that new song within your heart of praise unto the Lord? And when the Lord saves the soul, he sets that soul apart unto himself. As Paul said to the Romans, be not conformed to this world. And that includes the music of this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And therefore our worship and our praise as believers should be a praise and a worship that is a reflection of God himself. I said at the outset that the music of this world is a reflection of this world. And therefore, the music of the Christian should be a reflection of the Lord himself. Scripturally, containing the great truths of God's word, coming there by way of praise unto the Lord. It's not just the words that matter, young people, in relation to our Christian praise. Sometimes you hear about, you know, you could take some of the world's music and you could put it to good words, good sound scriptural words. And sure, as long as the words are okay, it doesn't matter about the music. But the music has to be a reflection of God. If it's going to be heavenly, if it's going to be praise and worship that is acceptable before God, then it has to be a reflection of God. And that's not just the words, that's the music as well. Otherwise, the music is going to convey one message, and the words are conveying another message, and you're back to that conflict where there are competing messages there. Therefore, we have to be very careful in keeping that of our praise distinct and unto the Lord, and not to cave in to the temptation of bringing the world's music into the worship and the praise of our church. Now, young people, I'm not against change. I'm not against new hymns, not against new pieces being sung, but we have to be so cautious here that we do not adopt the earthly for the heavenly. You have been very patient and following with me tonight. Just one other verse of scripture I would ask you to look at. Psalm 137. And it speaks here about the captivity in Babylon of God's people. And here it tells us, verse 3, just for the sake of time, verse 3, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And so the Babylonians had them in captivity. And they said to these Israelites, the people of God, sing us one of your songs. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. You see the answer there in verse 3. They that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And in verse 4 they said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? They said, we can't sing the Lord's song in a strange land. And that works both ways, young people. If we can't sing the Lord's song in the world, well then don't sing the world's song in the church. You have to keep them both distinct. Whenever you would go right through to the end of the Bible, you can see something there of the praise of heaven. They're singing a new song in Revelation chapter 5. That's the song of the triumphant believer. They're there in the glory. And they're singing unto the Lord, Thou art worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. They're singing about redemption. That's the theme of heaven's song. And may it ever be the theme of our song, young people, that we would sing praise unto the Lord. We offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name. I was speaking to a man not so very long ago, and he gave me a little bit of his testimony. And he said he was saved early in life, but he was a backslider. He got away from the Lord, and he loved singing. And he ended up going along to the pubs and the clubs to sing in them. And they would have said to him, sing us this one and sing us that one. And he would have taken requests. And one night somebody said to him, would you sing that piece, It Is No Secret, What God Can Do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. And he started to sing that old hymn. And the Lord spoke to him. And he realized that he was there in the pub, and he was singing the Lord's song. And I was moved to the point that whenever he had finished, those that he was singing to realized there's something wrong here. You know what they said to him? Bertie, you shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be here. And Bertie went home, and he got right with the Lord. Young people, if you have talent tonight, whether it's singing or whether it's as a musician, don't you waste it on the world. You use it to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you tonight for listening. May God bless His word to each of our hearts.